8:05, another 5 minutes to go. So just now, Danny came and spoke to me regarding that another chief reverend, venerable Wasarangara. I find it very difficult to announce Saranangara. Too long for me. Anyway, he told Danny that they are starting a fundraising to build a Mahakaruna Center in Shah Alam. So he asked me whether it's appropriate or not. I said, no problem. I said, you can also mention that you have discussed with me, then send it out to the Maikanya Mitta. Those interested, they can donate and make offering. Then our Kanya Mitta fund will donate 1,000. Suyan, sadhu. Suyan will send you the money. But you send out the notice first. Then the first one you can put Brother Theo Kayanamita. You not sure? Ah, Suyan. You can forward your draft to him. Then he will help you to edit or whatever. Where he very familiar. So anyway, these are very wholesome activity. So it's very kind of Danny to help out in this thing. Oh, near Sumiro. okay. Yeah. Shalom. Yeah. Mahakaruna. His center is all Mahakaruna. We used to go to that one, Subang. Old Airport Road, somewhere near there. There's one. That one was the first one, I think. Original one. So today, despite the rain, a lot of you turn out early. Sadhu. My nature rejoiced. Yeah, that scheme, the take-up rate is quite good, it seems. Somebody brought us to the showroom, but they are not cheap. The houses are, I think most of them are 1 million plus. Yeah, it's quite far away though. So now that the haze is gone, so most of you are very happy. My wife also very happy. She can wash clothes already, can dry outside. So you must have this gratitude towards nature. Appreciate the good weather that we are having. It seems the wind changed direction. Oh, the chanting book. Put down there. Okay, anyway, today is the 26th, September 2019, Thursday class. We are having it at Brother Suyan and Bifong's house. So one more minute, we can start the puja. So Suyan will name two Kayanamita to help light the candle and the incense. Who are the lucky two? and wife, it's just nice. They also came in last. long time haven't seen them too. Meant to be, sadhu. The rest of us, we can stand. By the way, remember, next Sunday is our gathering of Kaya Mitta already, very fast. So don't think it's still far away, because my birthday is end of the month, but this one is beginning of the month. So, but very fast. We are today Friday. Thursday, tomorrow Friday, after that, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. After that, the weekend, then the following Sunday, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. 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 Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you can be seated. Let us compose our mind, develop the sadha, virya, and mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you can visit that. Then turn to page 1 of your chanting book. We shall chant the Vandana onward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. เดทิยามปิสังหังสารนังกัจฉามิตติยามปิบุตังสารนังกัจฉามิตติยามปิดัมมังสารนังกัจฉามิตติยามปิสังหังสารนังกัจฉามิปานาติปาตาเวรมณีสิกขาปะฏะสมาทิยามิอาทินาทานาเวรมณีสิกขาปะฏะสมาทิยามิกาเมสุมิจฉาจาราเวรมณีสิกขาปะฏะสมาทิยามิมุสาวาทาเวรมณีสิกขาปะฏะสมาทิยามิสุราเมรัยมัจจปมาทัฏฐานะเวรมณีสิกขาปะฏะสมาทิยามิ Now we will chant the Padipa Puja offering of light.กันนาสารพัดเทนะดิเปนะตามาดังเสนาติโลกาดิปังสัมบุตังปูจายามิตามโนดังกันดาสัมบารายุเทนะดิเปนะหังสุกังหินาPuja ye puja niyang tang Puja baja namutamang Vanna ganda guno petang Etang kusuma santatin Puja yami munindasa Siri pada sarorohe Puja mi.ตังกสุเมนะเนนะปุณเณนะมะเตนะจะโหตุโมคังปูปังเมลายติยัตตาอิดังเมกายโยตัตตายติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปานิยังปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกังหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปาเลปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกังหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตโบจานังปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกังหาตุมุตตมัง Now we will chant the puja aspirations.Based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water.May this pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One.Who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the power of infliction as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born-free Nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, then sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Betang Pujayami. Damang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we will have our usual half an hour of silent inner awareness meditation. Yeah? Just relax body and mind. Yeah? Then we will off the light and you can start your meditation. Yeah. So by now, I believe all of us, yeah, you are here before and you know how to develop the training of the mind, yeah? And also the meditation straight away. Yeah? The understanding of it is very important, and our last Thursday discussion was very good. You should listen to it, then afterwards I will try to go through the short notes with you. Yeah? Then after that we continue from that lesson 75 of the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta, the transcript book. It's very, very good book. You should read through it. It's all about meditation mostly. Yeah? And it shows you clearly what the true meditation is. Yeah? You can go through it, develop the understanding, you will progress very fast. Okay, so for a formal meditation, you only need to check whether the spiritual faculty are with you or not. If it's with you, you can go into the meditative state straight away. There is no more mental hindrance because the spiritual faculty will help overcome the mental hindrance. Then your mind state will be with the spiritual faculty. Sada Virya will make you calm, composed and peaceful. Then Sati, when you have it, there is no thought. No thought means you are silent, quiet. Yeah. So sometimes you are not able to develop the stability of daily mindfulness, leading to the samadhi and the heedfulness. Then when you sit initially, there may be some thought, not that strong, not the very heedless type of thinking, but there is some form of thinking. If it arises, never mind. Just let it be. Because when you understand that your original state of mind is already the meditative state, the inner peace, inner awareness, so without thought, you are already in that state. So what you need to do is just let the thought arise and pass away. Then you silently, within, with the awareness, just be aware of whatever that is going on. When you don't give meaning to the thought process, you're just aware that it will lose its power. Because all this thinking, thought activity, they are dependent originating. So without any more thought energy given to it, through self-delusion or ignorance or the mental hindrance, they will slow down and finally subside. That's how you can realize your true mind, your silent mind. So when sati take over, your true mind will arise. Like last Thursday, the famous Mahayana saying, 无念就是真心. So without thought, that is your true mind. So you should realize that in your formal meditation. Then continue to relax and silent. You can allow it to be and develop that stability of silence without any focusing or concentration. Then it's a free mind that is in that state of stillness or silence. Then you continue to relax, silent everything, and allow the mind to enter sati finally. For those who still need the meditation object to anchor your sati, then you can go there. If it's anapanasati, just be with the breathing. Aware of the in and out breath, allow it to be relaxed into every mind state until this anapanasati becomes very quiet and finally very still. Then stabilize it. The mind will enter sati. Then after that, even the subtle breathing, you can also develop awareness of it. It becomes like clear to you again. Then that time is like very short, shallow, subtle breathing, like no breathing. But when your sati has reached that level of refinement, it can be aware of it. And it can be with that moment. Then after a while, the mind enters sati. Then everything you do is in sati. Then everything is like magnify your movement and all those things. Then there is continuous of awareness. That's how you stabilize it in the formal meditation. Then the inner awareness is just aware. Whatever it perceives also, just after that, no more, finish. Aware, perceive, come back, aware, silent. So that it will not create thinking, proliferation of thought. So the awareness can be just aware of whatever that is most prominent that come out. So you just let it be. So sometimes you feel your heartbeat, just aware there, finish. Or any vibration, any part of your body, just aware. Then sense or activity, the awareness, just aware. Aware, finish. Aware, finish. Then as the thoughts slow down and silent, then no need to have anything. It's just the awareness without any perception at all. That is how you develop the training. Then when this mind is developed, it will enter sati. When it enters sati, everything you do is in sati. Then your meditation becomes very different. Then you can realize that stillness, the silent mind, the inner awareness without thought, and the tranquility leading to the stillness, no thought, no movement at all. Sometimes that stillness is so still, it's like in the middle of the night when you can perceive the silence of nature. This one is the silence within your mind state. When all the mental chattering, verbalization, thought, proliferation or manifestation cease, then there is perfect tranquility leading to the stillness. The stillness is a word, but the actual understanding is when you are in that state, you will know. It's just aware, completely still. And that must be a free mind. So I will let you meditate on your own. Then after that, I will ring the bell when the alarm is trigger off after the 30 minutes. Okay. Slowly, mindfully, come over, meditation. Then turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and bliss. Nibbana, this is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakva. Atra gacchantu devata saddhammam munirajasa sunantu saggamokkhadam dham Savana kalo ayam badanta dhamma savana kalo ayam badanta dhamma savana
Holy. sati sadu sadu sadu. Okay, let us pay respect to Panya. Budang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami. Sangham Pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then just relax body and mind and maintain some form of attention there. We'll go to the last Thursday's outline short note first. Eh? Those who have your handphone, eh? You can I get you the date. Eh? Go to the My Kayana Metta website. WhatsApp. Then go for the 19th of September outline short notes. Oh, that one is the 22nd. Must get the one before. 17, then there's another 19, is it? Anybody got it? Huh? 19 one I didn't send out. Did I send out the 19th? Huh? Or 20th? 19th September. 20th. There's a 19. 19th. Eh? Oh, I put as 20th. Yeah, sorry. That date was wrong. So, click on the 20th one. Yeah. The 20th one is on what date? Yeah. How come I miss it? Just I saw it. What date is it? 21st. Okay. 21st. Oh, so many before that. Yeah. So 20th, okay. You all got it? 20th of September, it's supposed to be 19th, the date was wrong. Okay, outline short note for relatives Thursday class dated should be 19th September 2019. Yeah? Point number one, your original state of mind without the thought is your true nature. This is your meditative mind. So this one, you have to develop the understanding. You understand this, very easy to meditate. No need to do anything. Yeah? Relax, silent, just maintain awareness. If your spiritual faculty develop, the silent mind will arise. Sati will be there. And you straight away are in the meditative state where that is your true mind. The ability to understand this will allow you to develop the meditation easily. That's why you just need to relax, maintain awareness, then let the thought slow down or settle down and let your mind develop the stillness or the silence within. With this understanding, to meditate is very easy. Just relax, aware, and silent, or let things be. When you are silent within, you can see how thought actually arises due to condition, and it is dependent originating. There is no thinker behind the thought. Hence, it is anatta or non-self. Then thought is respond to memory. If your daily mindfulness and silent mind is very stable, you can also see the birth and formation of thought. This one is very important. When you are in that deep state of silent tranquility, stillness, then you can see the formation and birth of thought. Not until you see this, you will never understand anatta. So this part is very useful. I read this again. If your daily mindfulness and silent mind is very stable, you can also see the birth and formation of thought. And this thought, namarupa, is the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind. Initially, it's just a pure vijnana, the third link, pure consciousness, before the content of consciousness goes in to form the thought, namarupang, the fourth link. How does thought arise? Why is thought limited? You are initially the spacious awareness without a center. When you shrink your spacious awareness into a small space to perceive something, thought becomes limited. You understand? Limited to that small space. Initially, this is just pure awareness before the content of consciousness goes in. That is, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. No one to see as yet, like the light bulb light up. But with your views, opinions, and mental conditioning, the wrong content of consciousness are inputted through perception and memory. And this caused the pure awareness or pure consciousness to become an egoic thought. This happens very fast. When you lack a stable daily mindfulness and the initial wisdom or yoniso manasikara, born of the first and second turning wisdom. Reason why there is grasping to the five aggregates of form and mind due to ignorance, leading to dukkha or all the suffering. Then note number 3. In the dwelling of the paticca samuppada or dependent origination teaching, the Buddha say, avijja paccaya sankara, sankara paccaya vijnanam, and vijnanam paccaya namarupam. That is dependent on ignorance, ignorant of truth. Mental activity or thinking arise. When thinking arise, mind make contact with brain. Then just like the physics experiment, upon contact the light bulb lights up. The lighting up is vijnanam. That is the pure thought consciousness before the input of its content. In the Satipatthana Sutta, the Buddha used the term citta, meaning the pure vijnana with its content. Thus, the Buddha instructs the monk as follows. When the content of consciousness has delusion or lust or greed or hatred, you must be aware. That's why under citta nupassana, citta is the thought. The pure vijnana with its content, the fourth link, namarup. Point number 4. To meditate is not to create more thought. This one is most important. Always remember this. Instead, you need sati, the silent mind, to see the essential dhamma, to know who you are and how you function as a human being, and to know clearly the paticca samuppada or the law of dependent origination link and teaching clearly. The following Mahayana Dhamma saying by Master Poyen Tsang Lao or Hu Ping Ching Si are very important. I add in one. Xing Jing. Xing Jing is a Mandarin word that stands for still or silent mind. That is the meditative mind. Then Wu Nian Si Zhen Xing, you have the Hanyi Pinyin in bracket. So this one, the meaning is without thought, that is the true mind. You understand this, when you meditate, don't create thought, just let things be and let the thoughts subside, and you will understand what that meditative mind is. That meditative mind is actually stillness, silent, tranquility, when you are aware without thought. That is the true mind. Then the third one is Dong Nian Ji Wu Ming. This one is very important. When you stir your mind, that is delusion. When you think a lot, it means there is ignorance. That's like the first link leading to the second link. Avijja Paccaya Sankhara. So that is very easy to understand. Eh? You lack wisdom and you are heedless, that's why you think a lot. Instead, the enlightened one only think when they need to, or else they are most of the time silent within. Point number 7. For your meditative mind to arise, you need to have the initial wisdom, the 5 spiritual faculties, and the daily mindfulness developed. The reason being, our mind can only do one thing at a time. That is, it is either aware within the moment, born of wisdom, or it is lost in thought, preoccupied with the thinking due to avijja or ignorance. When it is aware, it is with the true mind without thought. Whereas when you are lost in thought, it is with the mundane mind heedlessly thinking and proliferating. So this one, the moment you understand, you read, you have a lot of joy. Because this is what meditation is. When you understand, you can meditate easily. For those who can't have the meditative mind developed, they cannot meditate. Reason why they need an object of meditation or a skillful means to anchor and train the mind. Most of them focus their mind to do samatha meditation via the 40 object of meditation, so that their mind is not heedlessly lost in thought or think a lot and restless. One can only be mindful when the spiritual faculty are there, otherwise the mental hindrance will take over. And this mental hindrance will be there to hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner awareness. The object of meditation is only their initial skillful means to help suppress their obsessive thinking or thoughts. This is suppression via a conditioned state of focusing or concentration, not born of wisdom. Reason why their defilements, born of ignorance, cannot be rooted out, because they are all suppressed by the concentration or energy field. The 5 spiritual faculties make one calm, composed, and ever mindful, and it can enable one to understand the spiritual teaching easily. The spiritual faculty are faith, saddha, the first one. So your faith deepens by knowing clearly who the Buddha is. He is not only enlightened, but he is fully enlightened, and he is perfect in wisdom and virtue. He understands life completely, and his rather unique and beautiful teaching can liberate the mind of living being from all suffering. When you understand this, you will have great faith in the Buddha and his teaching. That's how you develop faith. Contemplate clearly, deeply into who the Buddha is and how unique and beautiful his teaching is. So this is the part you need to develop the spiritual faculty. Then once you see the importance of the Buddha's teaching, it will drive you to cultivate. That's how spiritual zeal or virya come to be. The spiritual zeal or virya is the spiritual tenacity to cultivate, born of seeing the importance of such cultivation to make you awake. You need a good daily religious routine to train your mind to be ever mindful in the midst of life. When you do the formal meditation, it is to train your mind to enter sati and to realize paccati. The third spiritual faculty is the Ti, or mindfulness. And it is just the awareness without thought, or before the input of the content of consciousness. When you are in Sati, there is no thought, hence there is no negativity of mind state. Then Samadhi is the fourth spiritual faculty. Samadhi is the mind that is collected and unwavering. Because of Samadhi, when you see something, your mundane mind does not stir. Then you can see things as they are, and you will not stir your mind to act according to memory, which is not acting at all. Through inputting the content of consciousness according to your memory's accumulated views, opinion, and mental conditioning, which leads to evil roots and wrong thought. Then lastly, wisdom or panya will arise when you can see things as they are with samadhi, leading to the last enlightenment factor, upeka, or equanimity born of wisdom. Then point number 10. Thus, it's important to train your mind to be ever mindful without thought. By cultivating the five spiritual faculty and daily mindfulness, you need this because once you enter life or goes into life, your six sense doors are fully engaged. So if you cannot be in that, in this meditative state of ever mindful and constantly meditative when you are in the form of meditation, then it will be near to impossible for you to be mindful while you are fully engaged in life. It is important to be mindful of your six internal and six external sense bases to understand how you function as a human being, because you interact with the world through your sense bases. When you are aware of all this, you will know how you become lustful, fearful, emotional, angry, etc. You are able to see them all in your meditation, all the essential Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, the five spiritual faculty, the five mental hindrance, the five aggregates of form and mind, the four noble truth, seven factors of enlightenment, the tenth step of the Avijja Sutta. Then the next one is the three turning of the four noble truth, wisdom. So first, second, and third turning wisdom, giving rise to the three type of correspondent wisdom, Sutamaya Panya, Chintamaya Panya, leading to Bhavana Maya Panya. All this you will understand. Then number 13 is just some sharing that I gave. My last teacher shared this with me, but I developed it further. He didn't explain it so clearly. He just told me thought is matter. Then I developed the understanding where I understand science. Then I can see them. Thought is actually trapped energy based on Einstein's equation. E equals to mc squared. E is the energy that can be released from the mass, which is m. Then the amount of energy is you multiply the mass by the square of the speed of light. That is the extent of that energy. That's why nuclear energy is very powerful and very, very great. You don't need much matter. What you need is able to create that reaction. They call it the critical mass. When you have all these radioactive isotope or element, when you can create the critical mass, then the energy is released. That's why you can have atomic bomb, then nuclear bomb, neutron bomb, proton. So a lot of this type of weapon that scientists can develop. Then thought can see form. Form cannot see thought. Thus thought is of higher intelligence than form. Then the other thing is how your mundane mind creates, just like the Buddha's teaching. Mind is the forerunner of all things. when mind arises, everything arises. So this one, we have it in a more direct form. From zero come one. One is the first thought of ignorance. Then from one comes infinity, the infinite creation that evolved from the first thought of ignorance until now. So in the Dhammapada saying, or even in the scripture, is mentioned when somebody asks the Buddha about the beginning of life, do you remember his opening statement? Yeah, what did the Buddha say? Inconceivable is the beginning of the first thought of ignorance. You cannot conceive it unless you are the Sammasambuddha. So this first thought of ignorance is really, really long, long, long time ago. So when they arise, it will trigger off the creation process. From one comes infinity, the mind-right creation. That's how you end up what you are now, the form of mind. So this part is for information. When we meditate, awareness can see thought, but thought cannot see awareness. Thus, awareness has higher intelligence. Thought arises from the true nature or the oneness nature, the pure original nature. So when we understand this, then we will understand how our mundane mind creates. From this oneness nature, all things comes about. It's like the Tao, Tao Te Ching. When Lao Tzu taught the Tao, his opening statement also is very profound, very beautiful. He said, Tao ke Tao, fei chang Tao. Whatever Tao that can be described or spoken of, that is not the true Tao. And yet towards the end, he said, nothing is apart from the Tao. That's why from the Tao, everything comes to be. But the true Tao cannot be perceived. Because whatever that you can speak of or describe, that is the condition arising existence, not the true Tao. But nothing is apart from the Tao means that condition, existential world, phenomenal world of consciousness is also from the Tao. We are from that source it comes. That's how the teaching manifests and is actually exactly the same as the Buddha's teaching. Okay, then point number 14. When you walk this path of Dhamma, you develop wisdom leading to virtue naturally. Without wisdom, there is no genuine virtue. This one we have gone through. True virtue must be accompanied with wisdom, otherwise it is virtue according to oneself. Human beings have two minds. By now you should be familiar. First is the mundane mind. Second is the supramundane mind. Supramundane mind will realize that the five aggregates of form and mind are empty. Empty nature of existence, thus non-self and impermanent. In our daily cultivation, we start from understanding the mundane mind. We are comprehending Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. According to the Buddha, verse 1, mind is the forerunner of all things. When mind arises, all things arise. If you act, speak, and think with an unwholesome mind or an evil mind that has the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then suffering will follow you as the wheel that follows the hoofprint of the ox that draws the cart. Whereas Dhammapada verse 2 is the opposite. The opposite twin verse. Complementary verse. If you speak, act, and think with a pure mind, free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then happiness will follow you like a shadow that never leaves you. Thus, you need to train the mundane mind to be heedful. he want to avoid Dhamma, but I was one. Mm. Your life, you hold the key to your own life destiny. To be happy or to be unhappy is entirely your choice. So choose to be happy. Choose to develop wholesomeness. Choose to train your mind to be heedful and constantly meditative. Always, we are following the advice of the Buddha to do good, avoid evil, avoid all evil, and purify the mind. But when it comes to meditation, we need to start with the understanding of the true mind. Meditate to realize and connect to your true nature. Wisdom that arises via the direct seeing is connected to your form and mind, five aggregate of form and mind. And thus the five aggregate of form and mind, or in our case is the human being, is enlightened. But it is not you, because the five aggregate of form and mind is not a permanent, unchanging entity. As these five aggregates is no longer deluded, thus there is no more suffering. This is how awakening happens. If you plant the seed of wholesomeness, you will reap the fruit of goodness. On the other hand, evil begets evil. Thus, it is important to keep the minimum five precepts. This will enable you to avoid all the major evil. If you violate these precepts, thus it's important to keep the minimum five precepts. This will enable you to avoid all the major evil. We have the five precepts. If you break them, it constitutes major evils. If you violate this precept, karmic friction will surely hit back. So out of love and compassion for living beings, the Buddha taught the five precepts. Then cultivate wholesomeness and develop mindfulness and wisdom to purify the mind, to have the good life, to live the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda, life of an enlightened being. Point number 20. In the Abhijja Sutta, sense restraint is vital. With sense restraint, you can't break your precept. This comes about after having listened to the true Dhamma and then investigated via constant reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into them to develop the faith and the initial wisdom, Yonisok Manasikara, born of the first and second turning wisdom. Real meditation only begins when Sati Sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension, has stabilized. With this, one can keep two precepts naturally, as one knows the consequence from not doing so is very severe. With wisdom, thought may arise, but no more proliferation due to wrong view or self-delusion. You are aware and mindful at the moment of sense experience most of the time. And this Yonisoka Manasikara will prompt and guide you on how to act according to wisdom following Noble Eightfold Path. When you perceive something, wisdom sees it just as it is, suchness. So this part, you have to learn to develop the understanding. But you can never do it if the wisdom is not there. If the wisdom is there, you will know. Because most of the time, you are just aware. The moment you're aware, the thought does not proliferate. Living beings who are heedless, they think a lot. They are constantly heedlessly thinking, lost in thought. They are hardly aware. Most of the time, they are thinking. Too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. They got so many things to worry. All the First Noble Truth, not only happen to them, they worry. Happen to their loved one also, they worry. Then sometimes they worry about their children. Then later on, their grandchildren. Then all the things that they hold on to dearly. Anything happen to them, they also worry. Got money, also worry. Scared people rob them, kidnap them. So go out also worry. Need bodyguard, protection, everything. That sense of insecurity is so intense. So all this this delusion, when you don't understand, then it can haunt you. Okay, then we go to point 22. Qi xing dong nian. This one is very important. Qi xing in Mandarin is when you arise the thought, the mind, the mundane mind. Means you stir the mind. The arising of mind creates thinking, hence stirring of mind comes to be. Or in the Theravada term, it is avijja paccaya sankhara, ignorant conditioned activity of mind. So the first two links of the paticca samuppada is very clear. Qi xing dong nian. That's why Po Yan Zhang Lao, last night we also have this famous saying, dong nian ji wu ming, which is very true. When you create thinking, it means you have ignorance or delusion. Otherwise, you won't create thinking. Then I read on. One more sentence before that. Point 23. Originally, before the stirring, always remember this. The true mind is already in the meditative state of inner peace, still awareness, silent and still awareness within. So the stirring of the mundane mind comes about only when we do not have the wisdom and understanding of this fundamental principle. Through our own ignorance, we cause our mundane mind to arise via our reaction to sense experience at the moment of sense experience. Training the mind to have the silent inner awareness and clarity to see all this clearly is very important. Then there is no more delusion and we can just let things be. Then no more suffering or problem, and tranquility will return by not trying to do anything via the thought to suppress or control. That is, just be patient to maintain the silent mind with clear inner awareness within, to let everything return to its original state before its stirring. Always remember, when there is no delusion or ignorance, there is no thinking, no stirring of the mind, because only wisdom can free the mind. That is, the moment you have wisdom, your mind will not stir and you are free. So no need to do anything after that, because things are just the way they are, suchness or ta-ta-ta. So wisdom is most important. Without wisdom, the mental hindrance take over, ignorance take over. That's why the 12 links, they were starts to operate. That's how living beings get caught. So with that understanding, I think what I will do is, I was just go through the last Thursday whiteboard short note. You look at the whiteboard, then we can have a quick summary. So the first thing to understand is 无念是真心. Without thought, that is your true mind. So your true mind is actually the meditative mind, the silent mind, inner awareness, stillness, tranquility, just aware. No movement, no thinking. The awareness is such, there is nobody to be aware. Do you understand? Because there is a nature. This one is not easy to understand. But it's just that nature. But the moment it starts to perceive from the awareness, what happened? That is your mundane mind arising. That's why the perception aggregate come from the five aggregate of form and mind. When it's just aware, there is no thought, no aggregate. The mundane mind is not there. But the moment you start to perceive through memory, through conditioning, not according to wisdom and understanding, then that mundane mind become active, it come out. But when you have developed the contemplative wisdom, the constant listening to the Dhamma, the first and second turning wisdom, yoniso manasikara. It will come out and prompt you straight away at the moment of sense experience. Then your mind will not stir, because that Dhamma, that understanding, the initial wisdom, will prevent your mind from reacting and stirring. Because that understanding straightens your views. People are just the way they are. The world is the world, suchness. When things are like that, when conditions are like that, things will be like that. It can't be otherwise. Then you can learn to see things as they are, accept the reality of the moment. Like the Buddha said, whatever that arises within the existential world, because it's an existential world, conditioned arising world. So whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. You have to understand. And when the causes and condition is already set, what will happen? Thing is just the way it is, understand or not? But the condition like that, things will be like that. It can't be otherwise. If you want things your way, which is not nature's way, following nature's law, what will happen to you? You will suffer, isn't it? That's why the first noble truth reality, the seventh one, not able to get what you want is suffering, dukkha. That's why you cannot go against nature. You have to understand nature's law, especially the law of karma. That's why the Buddha's statement is very powerful. When he says, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. As such, he just mentioned this to Sariputta, and he became a sotapan straight away. That's how powerful that sansa is. Because Sariputta already knew the nature's law. But he cannot link. So he had to wait till Asaji mentioned this. And he just told him, because Sariputta wait till Asaji has finished his pindapata, finished his meal. Then he approached him, because he saw him so serene. He said, may I know who your teacher is? And what does he teach? Then Asaji, being very humble, just in a very humble way, spoke to Sariputta, I am still new. Means as far as the Dhamma is concerned, he is still new, because the five ascetics just awakened. He said, I know very little. Yeah. Then Asaji, because he was so sincere, Sariputta knew. He said, don't worry. I don't need much word. He said, tell me whatever little that you know. That's enough for me. Because he has great wisdom from the past, you know. So Asaji said, okay, you listen. This is what my teacher always tells us to reflect and contemplate. He said, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and conditions behind, my teacher has taught us. Just like that, he become a sotapan. So I repeat, listen attentively. Whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. Do you know how to apply this or not? When you get into trouble, first noble truth reality, whether health problem, financial problem, relationship problem or what, remember this stanza. Whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. Means what? Your health problem, your whatever financial problem, or your whatever relationship problem, or even other first noble truth reality problem like separation and all that. There are causes and conditions behind. And he said, these causes and conditions behind, the Buddha has explained. So what is the causes and conditions behind? He said the Buddha has explained, no? Did he explain to you? What are the five daily contemplation? Every day you contemplate, what are they? The first three is about this physical body, is there? So it doesn't explain the condition, it just explains to you some wisdom that this body doesn't belong to you. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can cling on to, hold on to, and say, this is me, this is I. That's why he tells you, this body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick, and die. for it goes the way of nature. It has not gone beyond conditioned state. Because this one is conditioned arising phenomena, not a permanent unchanging entity. So that one gives wisdom. It doesn't explain the condition behind. The fourth one is what? All that I own, hold on to dearly, they will one day separate from me. Either when conditions cease to be or when my breath stops. You understand? So he teaches you not to be deluded by all these things. Whatever you think you own, your loved one, your property, your wealth, whatever that you hold on to dearly, they are dependent originating, condition arising phenomena. They come and they go. Condition arise, they arise. Condition cease, they cease. So this is for you to contemplate on how things come and how things go. It never belonged to you. When you came with nothing. When you go, you cannot take along anything. So none of this belong to you, for you never exist. That form of mind is not you. That's why he said in the famous Dhammapada stanza, I said, my son, my wealth, my possession, this only the fools lament, the foolish people lament. For that very body also doesn't belong to him. Wherein wealth, wherein son, wherein all those things. Because you yourself is not a permanent unchanging entity. This one is condition arising, dependent originating. So when the three conditions support this form and mind, cease to be or separate, you die. When you die, your identity erased. So how can you own things? That physical body also don't belong to you and you want to own it. That is self-delusion. Self-delusion born of ignorance. Yeah. Then the last contemplation is what? The fifth one. Uh-huh. We are all born of our karma. Heir to our karma. Conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So whatever happened to you is due to what? So this is the reason why Asaji say, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions. And these causes and conditions, my teacher has taught me. And this is what karma is all about. That's why you don't blame anybody. You have to learn to accept this reality. In the past, you must have caused people suffering, misery. That's why now conditions arise, this thing come back and haunt you. So if you understand this, what will you do? You will not get angry. You will not blame people. You will not react. You will come to terms with this reality. This is fair. We are in the past, through delusion, through ignorance, I did all this nonsense. So now I understand, I accept what happened, that I am at peace. Means I don't project my thought. I don't get angry. I don't stir my mind. I don't develop the unnecessary fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. Then I can solve my problem. Do you understand? That's why the moment you have this wisdom to accept the reality of the moment, there is no more negative thought. There is no more fear, worry, anxiety, blaming, reacting. You are at peace. When you are at peace, means what? The mind is quiet. There is clarity. Then I ask myself, what actually happened? How can I resolve this amicably so that I can move on with my life? That is how you solve your problem. And the way to do it is through Noble Eightfold Path. Right view to accept this reality that is due to karma. With right view, I do not create wrong thought. Then I will arise the right thought to resolve things amicably. Then when I arise the right thought, I will be able to also condition the right speech, right action, the right way to live my life. Then I do what I have to do. To break this karmic law, first thing, what must you do? Ask for forgiveness. Seek forgiveness. Repentance. That's how it's in the teaching. Kayena vacca cittena and all this thing. That one is ask for forgiveness from the Triple Gem and the Enlightenment and the monks. But you have to include the one in the chanting book that I teach you from all beings, whomsoever from the distant past until now. whether knowingly or unknowingly that I have caused them any karmic suffering or misery or misled, I sincerely ask for forgiveness. May this sincere request for forgiveness be accepted by all. Then you radiate love and metta. May all beings be well and happy. It's on page 16, I think, Jayanta. So, after you ask for forgiveness, seek repentance, you know what will happen. The karmic obstruction, if your karmic offense is very strong, you are able to break the karmic obstruction. If the karmic obstruction are not dealt with, nobody can help you. Even the Buddha karma also cannot help you. You have to ask for forgiveness. Because some of these karmic offense, when you break them, especially the five heavy karma, is very difficult unless you ask for forgiveness. Then sometimes when you offend, cultivate a virtuous being, also very severe, the offense, especially triple gem. So asking for forgiveness is number one. Then after that, vow not to repeat all this karmic negativity. Understand? So to do that, what must you do? Follow the advice of the Buddha. To avoid all evil, do good, purify the mind. That's how you start with precept. Meditation, listening to the Dhamma. That's how the cultivation comes about. And all these are in your Bodhisattva vow, the yellow card there. This is what you have to do. Then the last one is what? Invoke power of merits for causes and conditions to turn around. Do you understand? By the power of this merit, the moment you start to avoid all evil, keep precept, you have merits. You attend Dhamma section. The 10 marital sections are all there. You meditate, you develop wisdom, virtue, noble eightfold path. All these are very virtuous, beautiful, wisdom and blessing. Then you invoke power of merits. By the power of whatever wholesomeness, merits, or blessing that this nature of mine has cultivated since the time I know the Dhamma until now, may it arise the causes and conditions for whatever purpose you want. So what the Buddha teach is normally to arise the causes and conditions for you to avoid all the heedless, the foolish, meet up with the wise, so that enlightenment in the here and the now can be realized. That one is very important. You know, if you don't avoid the fool and the heedless, what will happen? You will join them, understand, huh? Become their gang. Yeah. That's why we chant, Ipmina Punyang Kamina. Punyang is the merit, by the power of this merit. Ipmina Punyang Kamina. Mame bala samagamo, satang samagamo hotu, yava nivana patya. So this is the aspiration by invoking power of merit to avoid the heedless, the foolish. Meet up with the wise and the enlightened one so that enlightenment in the here and now can be realized. So you have to do that. But for us who live in the mundane world, if we want to solve our problem, like your health problem, or your loved one's health problem, you can modify this power of merit. Because the Buddha has given many circumstances. By the power of truth, may something happen, that, like the Jayamangala Sutta and other things, then the Angulimala Sutta. Also, by the power of truth, since he become a monk, he has never break his five precepts. By the power of this truth, exertion of this truth, may the mother and the child be born safely. That's why Angulimala is famous for childbirth. A lot of people chant Angulimala Sutta because of his sincerity and his power of truth. Then when you develop this to modify, then you can chant by the power of whatever merits, blessing or wholesomeness that this nature of mine has cultivated since the day I understand this Dhamma and put into practice, may arise the causes and conditions for this physical body of mine or this nature of mine to recover to good health if you got health problem, or your loved one to recover to good health or whatever. Yeah. But if that loved one has done something wholesome, whether to others or to the family or to you, then you invoke his power of merits. By the power of whatever wholesomeness that he has done out to my nature or my other family member, may it arise the causes and conditions for her or she to recover to good health or whatever. Yeah. So all these are the Dhamma way. If you understand, you apply, your life become beautiful. You can solve your worldly problem. You can improve your spiritual life. You can improve your spiritual understanding and condition to help people. And you can be a true blessing to the world. So this is what the Dhamma is. So when you understand, it's very easy to cultivate. Okay? So can follow. So the first one is, without thought, that is your true nature. So when you meditate, don't try to create thought. Don't go and note here, note there, focus, follow the instruction without understanding. Because they are doing it to train the mind, to anchor the mind. Because they got problem with that mind settling down. For you, when you understand, you cultivate the five spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance are gone. Then this is the meditative state. No need to train. Straight away you enter that state. That's why a lot of our kayamita, they can just lie down and go into stillness. Even sitting, relax, silent, away, their mind just become quiet very fast. And this one, no need to focus, no need to concentrate, and no need to release the absorption out. Then if you do it well, when mind enters sati, everything you do is in sati. Then when you come out of the meditation, the formal meditation, when you go into the daily life, you will see your transformation. Everything you do in life, every moment of seeing is in sati. Hearing is in sati. Smell, taste, tactile, or thought process is in sati. All your kaya activity and movement, you are fully aware. It will come by itself. It's like a continuous flow. No longer like last time. Most of the time, thinking, heedless, lost in thought. No more. So this part is very important. If you know this, Wu Nian Su Zhen Xing, without thought, you are already in the meditative state. That is your true mind. So you will know how to meditate. Whereas this one, Tong Nian Qi Wu Ming, means thought activity is tuned to avijja. Why do you think? Because you don't understand. When you don't understand, you go and think. Because you say, I don't know the truth. I want to know the truth. So one thing to know, what do? You think. And when you think, you make contact with the brain. And it creates avijja paccaya sankhara, thinking activity. You make contact with the brain, it creates mental consciousness. This is the pure consciousness before the content goes in. Understand? Then because you are so heedless, you don't have mindfulness, you cannot stay here. You cannot be at the moment of consciousness. Like the Buddha said, in the seeing, it's just the seeing consciousness. In the hearing, it's just the hearing consciousness. Just that consciousness. You cannot be at that moment because you are not mindful. You have not developed the stability of sati. And you don't have the initial wisdom. That's why people cannot cultivate. This link to this link is like lightning flash. Very fast. Go there already. Then like Pang last time said, immediately here, he reached suffering already. Very fast. Yeah. So how to see the link? Because your sati is not stable. You don't have initial wisdom. Then feeling cannot remain as pure feeling. Because here, when you input the content of consciousness, because of avijja, there is ignorant contact. So ignorant contact will condition wrong thought. What are wrong thought? Thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, the evil root, the insecurity, your phobia, everything, your scars of memory. And these are wrong thought. So the egoic mind straight away manifests. You don't have wisdom. But if you have wisdom, yoniso manasikara will come out at the moment of sense experience here. Your yoniso manasikara. Manasikara is attention. Yoniso is wisdom. Wisdom at the moment of sense experience. You can see this consciousness. You aware. Then you act according to wisdom. Wisdom may even tell you, thing is just the way it is. No need to stir my mind. No need to get excited or fearful or angry, emotional. That's how this one stabilizes. Then the content that goes in is yoniso manasikara, which is without ignorance. It's with the initial wisdom, the understanding, to understand the reality of the moment. That's why the Buddha said, learn to see things as they are, not what your memory tells you, not what your views, opinion, and conditioning tell you. That is wrong thought, ignorant. Without wisdom, it cannot come out and prompt you. It cannot come out and deliver the understanding to free your mind. That's why every moment of consciousness, the moment you have avijja, this thing moves very fast. But when you are without avijja, you don't have to think. Understand? You only arise right thought when you need to arise. That's why the enlightened being, they are most of the time just aware, silent. Even they aware, perceive, they know, they stop thinking already. Unless they want to reflect on something to develop the understanding. Then their reflection, contemplation and inquiry is with that mindful state of mind. The mind that is aware to the contemplation. Not the thinking mind doing the thinking. That one is not contemplation. That is using the thought and the knowledge. Every time, go back and check with the brain. From knowledge, you try to understand. That is not understanding. That is knowledge. That's why knowledge is not wisdom. Wisdom means put the memory, the knowledge aside. Forget about it. Then investigate with awareness. Find out. Why did the Buddha say this? Birth is suffering. Old age, sickness and death is suffering. Separation is suffering. Then you reflect, you contemplate. What is birth? The whole process, you will recall through your memory. You recall through memory is to recollect the birth process. What happened during birth? Not your condition, views, opinion, and conditioning. Understand? Means you reflect on life during the birth process. What happened? Not according to what people tell you. Sometimes you listen to Dhamma, then you go back. Then after that, you say, birth is like, yala. Brother Teo say what? The moment of birth, the baby cry already. That is suffering. What? Means you didn't contemplate, you didn't reflect. Do you understand? It's just like Jai Krishnamurti is good. Yeah? The most dangerous person in this world is what? The one who say, I know. Why did he say, that is the most dangerous person in this world? We have too much knowledge, understand now? Before he can reflect, contemplate, and develop his own understanding, he say, I know. Well, he learned from somewhere, knowledge. That's why I say, if you go to the memory, you will never investigate, you will never reflect, you will never contemplate. And do you know that in the early days, a lot of you all, what you all do? You come for meditation class, then I ask you to report your meditation. Most of you very shy. Then some report. What is the question? Brother Teo, right or wrong? What must I do? If you ask questions like that, you are not going to develop the understanding. Why? Because you want to seek answer. You are interested in right and wrong. What have I been advising you all? You must understand what is meditation. You must understand what you are doing in the name of meditation. If that one also you don't want to understand, then you're only interested in Brother Teo, right or wrong. Then ask me, what must I do? If I equally gullible, I tell you, no, wrong, you must do like that, like that. I am like you.
Yes, I am not interested in teaching you what is meditation. You don't understand, how can you do? You see the point or not? It's just like you have a problem, okay? Then you come to somebody. And this guy tell you, don't worry, sit, meditate. Your problem will be gone. He didn't even want to know what is your problem. Understand? If I don't know what my problem is, how can I solve my problem? True or not? It's like meditation. If I don't know what is meditation, how can I learn? How can I develop it? So the question is, like Jai Krishnamurti always relate, you ask the wrong question. Please teach me how to meditate. That is a wrong question. But it's very logical. I want to meditate. Please teach me how to meditate. But people who know, if you ask this type of question, you don't know what you are asking. You are being deluded. Because meditation is to be understood before you can do. Understand? If I teach you, I become equally gullible than you. Understand? Because the I is the egoic mind, which is a thought, and the thought want to meditate. How can the thought meditate? So I must teach you to meditate, you must understand your true mind. But to live life, you must understand the mundane mind, sing wei gen ben. You understand? If I don't teach you this, I am like you, equally gullible. But I realize this is not easy, you know. This has been teaching for so many years and didn't really go in. Because your old habitual tendency of using the thought to meditate, because it's so logical, isn't it? I want to meditate. What must I do? I want a method. I want a technique. I want somebody to teach me. Okay? Then when people teach you, what do they teach you? Method, technique, and a series of instructions to do things. Is that meditation? That has nothing to do with Noble Eightfold Path. That has nothing to do with training the mind. So if you don't understand, you become gullible and you just go and do, believing that this is vipassana. This will lead to enlightenment. One day you will become enlightened. But you don't want to find out what is meditation and what is the Dhamma. The Dhamma is akaliko, beyond thought, beyond mind. So how can you use thought, which is an instrument below wisdom or the Dhamma, to realize a state that is beyond thought, beyond mind? That itself should wake you up. You cannot use thought. And in the teaching, the Buddha make it very clear, you must arise sati. Everything is sati. To be heedful, you have to be ever mindful. It has to be in sati. So sati is most important, as sati is the instrument that is beyond thought, beyond mind. And to have sati, there must be no thought. There must be nobody meditating. That's why Krishnamurti used this sentence. A lot of people panic and don't agree with him. Wherever there is a meditator, there is no meditation. You agree or not? Now Dr. Jayanta says, wow. When you understand, you say he is wise. Do you understand? He said, whenever there is a meditator, there is no meditation. Who is the meditator? The thought, the egoic mind, the mundane mind. So that fellow active, how can you see things as they are? How can you be in the state of sati, silent, aware? You can only do one thing at a time, remember? Either you are aware without thought, to understand the movement, the activity, and what is going on. Or, you are lost in thought. True or not? Lost in thought means what? You are preoccupied with the thinking. Understand? You can only do one thing at a time. When you are thinking, how can you be aware? Oh, you don't come and tell me, brother, till I can multitask. That one is lying to yourself. The moment you are not attentive, you are lost in thought. So, ask yourself. The moment, the present moment is the only reality in life. Moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? That question will answer you. Most people, without the training, what are they doing? They are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. they cannot be with the moment in silent awareness to experience the moment and live, truly live life. That's the big difference. That's why that is heedless living. The second one, when you train your mind, develop the meditative mind, that is heedful living. You are constantly aware, mindful within, silent, without thought, most of the time. Unless you need to arise, to share, to do something. But inside, still empty. Like this whole 2-3 hours, you may think I actively teaching, sharing, but inside, empty. From the nature, it come out. Because this understanding, I no need to remember. It understand. That's why that wisdom connected to the form and mind since 1989, it will manifest by itself. So all this is very different from the one using memory, knowledge. If you use memory, knowledge, you have to prepare notes. Understand? This one that I read to you is transcribed from my talk. That's why it's not my note. Understand? And sometimes the transcript, the person who do it, not at that level, I need to edit it. Then there is a limit to how much they can put in, because the whole session is too long. If you really transcribe, it becomes like a book, 60 over pages or 50 over pages. And every session is one book. And every session you saw the transcript is full of teaching, understanding, and Dhamma. So it is something very different. So after we have gone through these two and this one, then we come back to the thought. Always remember, you have to see this with the silent mind. When you are in the meditative state, you can see the birth and formation of thought, but you need to be very quiet, very still, at the moment of sense experience. Yeah. Then you will see how they arise. But most of the time, before you have the stability of mindfulness, you can't. Because you are thinking even while you are so-called meditating. Understand not? Then either you are sleepy, lapse into sloth and torpor, or if you have already improved, no sloth and torpor. But yet, you cannot be in a relaxed state of inner awareness, silent awareness, to just observe. To observe is to be aware, understand, without the observer. You know how to observe without the observer, no? Yeah, just aware, understand, no? When you observe without the observer is who? It's the thought that perceives, understand, no? That is the observer. Like the Buddha said, in the seeing is just that seeing consciousness. That's why they told you in the Thai tradition, the book, stay with the knower. There is no knower. Stay with the awareness, your true mind. Your awareness is just aware. But without thought, how do you understand? That is the question. So when you are aware, what happens? The awareness without knowledge awaken. And when it awaken, it understand. No need words. Inside. When it understand, to share with the world, I need to use word. Correct or not? But the word is not that thing. That's why I say, like the Buddha's teaching, the Buddhist hymn. What? Ing be that song. Self-reliant. No one save you but yourself. No one can and no one way. You ourself must walk the path. Buddha merely show the way. That's why you have to do it yourself. Understand not? Unless you do it and awaken, whatever I say, you use the mundane mind and knowledge to understand, you become very confused. So Krishnamurti may sound very revolutionary, but everything he say really match with the Buddha's teaching. He said, The observer is the observed. Do you understand that statement? To observe without the observer already difficult enough. Yeah? The observer is the observed. That one is the second part. No? Deluded people doing that. No? When you observe with the observer, what are you observing? You're observing what your thought tell you, isn't it? Your perception tell you, isn't it? So whatever you observe, the observer is the observer, understand? It's still that thought, understand not? That movement. So when the observer is the observer, how can you develop wisdom? This is still thought. When you are able to see things as they are without the observer, that is wisdom. Do you remember the three types of seeing? The Mahayana one. Kan san, si san. What is that? First type of seeing. Mundane seeing, understand? Or? Mundane people say this is mountain, understand? Or? Then the second guy who see, kan san, bu si san. Dr. Yanta never listened before. You know why he say no mountain? Why? Supramundane seeing, the direct seeing, the silent mind see. What is the silent mind? See things as they are without the word. That's why there is no mountain. It's just that thing. Like this painting. Whatever it is you see, the pure perception before you perceive. Understand? It's just the awareness of that thing. No word. Means no painting, no Mahayana painting, no whatever. The word also, just see it as it is, like a baby, newborn baby, sitting as they are. That one, no word on. You cannot describe, but this is the reality. Understand? That's why the enlightened being come along and say, Kan san, bu si san. That is only the second stage of seeing, though, when you just awaken, though. You see like that. But when you already awaken and stabilize all this understanding, then you know how to transcend duality. You don't want to argue with people already, understand? So the third stage of seeing is what? Kan san, yu si san. Again, the mountain come back. Why? Most people are mundane people. You want to be funny? Huh? You say no mountain. Huh? You kena whack like mad. You say, you crazy fellow. Where you learn your teaching? Huh? Mountain lah. Mountain. Then the enlightened one come. No mountain. Yeah, no mountain. But you understand both. Understand not? It's like the Mahayana grandmaster. The disciple, you remember? The Pa Feng Chui Putong. He wrote a message through another disciple, passed to the master. He said, Master, I have awakened. I have understood everything, what you teach and what the Buddha teach. The eight winds cannot affect me anymore. You know what the master replied? He said, Fang Pi. And you know what happened? No? When the message went back to him, he got so angry, you know, went over to the master. How can you be so rude and do this to me? The master asked him back, no, you say eight winds cannot blow you, but one fart blow you over the island to meet up with him. What does it mean? You are still deluded. You don't have the wisdom. Then the teacher say, you satisfied with this answer or not? The teacher said, the student said, no, you tricked me, he said. Then he said, okay, now look at that thing. He pointed at the table. You know. He said, what is that? He straight away answered confidently, you know, table. You know. Then the master whacked him. Still got table. Then he reminded him of the Surangama Sutta. What is the Surangama Sutta? Thing becoming right. Perception of form is consciousness. Come. no place. Right? Yeah. perception of form is consciousness, whereas its non-perception is wisdom. Surangama Sutta wrote it very clear. That's why the first time I read this Surangama Sutta, I don't know what the sutta is, but when I saw this stanza, I was full of joy. I see God, people in the world who understand this teaching. I saw that. I knew what it was. I understood J. Krishnamurti's teaching. That's why when I perceive, there is perception of form is consciousness, whereas its non-perception is... it's not non-perception. Perception. It's wisdom. When you don't perceive means what? When you don't arise the perception aggregate, the mandimai, means that is the direct seeing. Understand? And that is wisdom. When you can see things as they are, you understand. And that is wisdom. So this is a very powerful statement. That's why the teacher, the master, whacked that student, then only the student gave up. That's why all the Mahayana teaching, they are very beautiful. So the key word is perception. When you perceive form, means your mundane mind arises already. You understand? And that is knowledge. Whereas its non-perception is wisdom. When you don't perceive, that is your silent mind observing, seeing, developing the direct seeing to awaken. The wise one will understand this statement straight away. Well, that is what they saw. That's what I saw when I went through the training. Can follow? Yeah? So today we cover this one extra. Huh? Okay. This one you need to develop the daily mindfulness to see how you create thought. Because your nature is spacious awareness, just aware, no center. But the moment you want to know something, means you shrink your consciousness to that space to observe what you want to perceive. That's why thought becomes limited. Well, thought is just this small space, whereas you are the overall oneness, awareness. So when you shrink and input the content, then this pure awareness or pure consciousness plus the content become the thought. And this is the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind, and this one is namarupa. Whereas the pure vijnanang, the pure consciousness, is when you are able to do the direct seeing, when you can see things as they are before the perception come in, the content of consciousness go in. This is the one that see truth, that awaken. This is the pure vijnana. But from here to here, even here to here, is very fast, like supersonic. That's why without sati, you cannot. There is no way you can see that. But when you have sati and the initial wisdom, you can see them. At the moment of consciousness, before the content went in, you can stay at the moment of feeling, vedana. That feeling remains as pure feeling. It will not be conditioned into craving. All the link, it can stop there because of the understanding. Without the understanding, cannot. It will move. It will stir. It will react. That's why you cannot do your daily mindfulness. If every moment of sense experience when you live life, your mind stir and react with like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, you are creating mental hindrance. And this one becomes so habitual, where throughout the day you do it. Then how can you be peaceful? How can you be aware? Because these are mental hindrance that will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness and inner awareness. That's the reason why you will not stand a chance. You cannot see at all. You are as good as blind. Yeah. Okay, so we cover everything. Huh? Yeah. Sing wei kenpen. you have to go back and read that book, lesson 75, page 13 onward. I think next Thursday, yeah, we will read through that one. Tonight, I think not enough time. Huh? You go and read. Page 13 onward, also very good. Then page 24 onward. 24 onward is another question by another lady, Adeline. She asked, Brother Theo, how to cultivate, to overcome and transcend duality? Is that the middle way? If we are on the middle way, can we overcome this problem of duality? This one I answer her very well. Should go and listen. Then page 13 is on the Zen story, Bodhidharma. Asking the monk, teaching the monk how to start Sing Wei Kenpen. You have to start from understanding the mind, the mundane mind. Yeah, this is the mind that creates everything, responsible for everything. This is subject to karma. That's why when you understand this, you will know how to live life. You have to start from here. All cultivation, the Buddha's advice, start from here. Sing Wei Kenpen. That's why the Buddha, under Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, the first two of the 423 Dhammapada verse, he start with this. Mano, mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, all things arise. So how you use the mind is very important. The user of mind. If you are heedless, you use it with delusion and heedlessly, then suffering will follow you, following Dhammapada verse 1. If you do it with wisdom, understanding, you train your mind to be heedful and you act, speak and think with a heedful mind, then this mind becomes beautiful. Happiness will follow you like the shadow that never leaves you. So to live life is so simple. If I want to be happy, I follow Dhammapada verse 2, I avoid Dhammapada verse 1. My life, I have to make the decision. And a lot of people don't understand this. That's why they don't have this teaching. So they fail to understand life. Otherwise, nobody suffer, I tell you. True or not? True or not? If you understand this teaching, are you so foolish to go after Dhammapada verse 1? Huh? If you understand that that is how you get into trouble, you still want to be heedless. I tell you, I will wake up straight away. That's the reason why I added in the short note for you to understand. Each and every one of us, we hold the key to our own life destiny. True or not? Your life, you decide. So decide wisely. So if you understand this, then you ask yourself, if I hold the key to my own life destiny, it means I can decide how I want to live my life. To be happy or to be unhappy is entirely my choice. True or not? Then how come there are so many suffering beings in the world? Do you mean they don't know how to choose? Because they don't have this teaching. That's why they don't know how to choose. If they have this teaching, do you think anybody will consciously choose to go and commit Dhammapada verse 1 and get into trouble? Nobody will do that, I tell you. Unless the stubborn one, the one the view very strong one, they call those who hold on to their view tenaciously, that one, even the Buddha also cannot help. So how can we help? So if your view is so strong, you don't believe what people say, you just want to go by your way, then all the best to you. So the teaching is very beautiful. Everything is there when you understand. And you will really wake up. I don't know about most of you. When I started, nobody taught me all this. And yet when I saw the first time I saw the Four Noble Truths in the year 1971, I never turned back. 10:30 already. So we can end. Because that Four Noble Truths, the moment I read it, it was the first edition of the Chief Reverend Kesari Damananda's What Buddhists Believe, that book. Red color, thin book, that time, first edition.
Somebody gave to me when I was in Form 5. Then when I read that one, I was full of joy. When that book started off by telling me what my mother do is all Chinese tradition and what they call Taoist practices. Then straight away, I wanted to know what is Buddhism. Then I turned to the next few chapters. Wow, when he talked about the Four Noble Truths, he didn't explain. No. He just recited the Four Noble Truths. No. The moment I read it, inside, full of joy, straight away tell me, this is the real one. Nobody in this universe, not this world, no, universe, can summarize all his understanding of his enlightenment into just Four Noble Truths, no, so beautifully. Summarize for me all of life, no, both the mundane and the supramundane. I say, where to find this type of teaching? He must be the real one. Because at that time, my nature tell me, even if I were to realize the enlightenment that the Buddha has realized, I cannot summarize the teaching like that. That's why without the sasana, this Four Noble Truth is not easy. It cannot come about. Do you understand the meaning or not? The Four Noble Truth is summarized to you all of life, both the mundane and the supramundane. Can you all understand that? I have gone through a few times. Because this is like the secret of life. When you understand this, you understand the secret of life and you know how to live life. What is the First Noble Truth? Life is suffering again, see? Very good testimony. The Buddha never said life is suffering. There is a noble truth that explains suffering in life. If you don't have the wisdom when you confront this eight reality, suffering will arise. And this eight reality explain the reality of life and existence. Everything within the mundane conditioned world can never escape from this eight reality. Whatever you do, you check, this eight reality is there. Birth, old age, sickness and death, cover four. Separation from loved one, prized possession, that one also cover a major part of your life. Then, six is when you are with people whom you don't like, also cover that aspect of your life. Seven, when things don't go your way, when you cannot get what you want, when your expectations in life are not met, cover the rest. Then finally, whatever that is not covered, which is the meditative, is it? The final summary, in short, it is due to your self-delusion, the condition you to grasp at your five aggregate or form in mind that I call dukkha. There is nothing in this universe and existential world that is apart from the five aggregate or form in mind. Do you know why? Because these come from your senses, understand? Your sixth sense. How do you know the world? How do you interact with the world? Through your senses. Through your aggregate of form and mind. That's why it covers all aspects. When I saw that, wow, I was full of joy. I understood the secret of life. That is mundane. Then second noble truth is what? He even explained to me the cause of arising of suffering. Due to self-delusion, conditioned by ignorance, that give rise to grasping. When I grasp to this five aggregate of form and mind, suffering comes to be. Then I realize this is exactly what I have understood before, not this life. Then when he mentioned the third noble truth, I already knew when I was very young, you can go beyond all this. That's why the third noble truth is about enlightenment in the here and the now. Is it suffering need not be enlightenment in the here and now? Nibbana can be realized. This is so beautiful. Then he didn't end there. No. He somehow teach you how to end it. No. There is a path, namely the Noble Eightfold Path. If you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the enlightenment in the here and the now, end of all suffering. That's why the third and fourth Noble Truth is a supramundane life. The supramundane aspect of life. Then I realized the Four Noble Truth cover everything. Everything that I need to know. That's why from that moment, no more turning back.
I went all out to develop that cultivation. Of course, I need to go through university life. But I meditate in the university. The first day I reached there, I met Chief Reverend. Somebody took me there. And the story is already told many times. I went to the talk. Somebody, my classmate, one of the engineering students, by the way, Sui Anemi for me not know, So Vee Chong. So Vee Chong brought me there, actually. Yeah, he was with me in first college. Then he asked me, we were the first two early to arrive, then he came and talked to me. He said, Tiwa, you got anything to do or not tonight? I said, no, I take you somewhere. End up science faculty, one of the lecture data. Then I saw one bald-head monk, Chief Reverend K. Sri Lama, first time I saw a monk, and he spoke so good English. Then after he introduced the name, I remember the book he wrote now. Straight away, there was so much joy. This is the author that wrote this book. Then I straight away, after the talk, I asked for the address. That's how I went to Brickfield. Then when I approached Brickfield that Sunday, in the motorbike, you know what happened? The chanting, the Pali chanting, so familiar. Like I heard it before. Oh, I say, what is this? All this vibration like I heard before. That's how I end up there. Then that's how I started to develop the Dhamma. Then that first night after I come back from the talk, we are in the talk there, he said, look inside. He pointed at the forehead there. So I thought the mind is here. So I went back and never said before, I don't know what is meditation. I don't even know the essential Dhamma. So I went back to my college. That was the first night. Then my roommate was a final year senior, a very rugged guy with the beehive type of hairstyle. And he played band on. First, yeah, he was already a final year art student, third year. When I went in, he was sleeping there already. He was there before me. I supposed to share room with him, but I was the earliest to arrive. Then I greeted him. Of course, you ask me, got fear? No, I sure got fear. That time, first year, I was scared of ragging. Heard ragging. But because of him, I didn't kena ragging. Those people who want to rag us, knock at the door very loud. Then he was sleeping. I purposely don't want to wake up. I let him go and open the door. The moment he opened the door, that few fellow outside panic. Sorry. He said, we are not supposed to be here. He said, I understand you are the senior. They walk away. I was the only one didn't kena rag. That's right. Then that night, I had to wait till he sleep. So I wait till about, I remember almost midnight. Then I make sure he sleep already, sound snoring. Then I went down from the bed, I sat. I never meditate before. Well, I remember he said, look inside. I also look inside. And that time, where I'm a science student, I can study very well, I can focus, I can concentrate well. That is where I do my one-pointedness. I went in. The whole brain was blank. It's not my mind, it's the brain. That time I didn't know. Then suddenly I saw a white spot. A white spot, like a bright spot. You can call it a star or one bright one. Then I got nothing to do. I focus on it. My mind stuck on it. Then as I focus, this mind suddenly went in. Went in and break through that light. Then it was like my mind, there is a mind traveling outward into space, into infinite space. Actually, I was in the Arupa state of jhana, I don't know. Then I didn't even know what it is. Then I went in. It was like a few minutes only, Then I realized it is something that I don't understand. So I withdraw. After I withdraw, I felt so calm, so still, so quiet. Then I thought maybe half an hour meditation. I looked at my watch. 4 a.m. already. I was sitting down there 4 hours now. It's like
that short moment, like very long. That's why after that, my whole mind become very still. It was with me that stayed for 1 week. Then I thought that was meditation. That was real meditation, but I don't know, it was a conditioned state. Because after that, my anapanasati very strong. Nobody taught me, they teach me rising, falling, I cannot do. The moment I said the anapanasati come, I went into stillness. Yeah. But that time was a conditioned state. Yeah. So first year, second year, third year, fourth year, final year, I do. But when I graduate, come out to work, I started to touch money. Then I realized inside, move again. Want to study law, make my career stand out. Want to study MBA. Then I realized, what the hell is going on? How come all this movement inside? Then I remember what the Buddha said. Yeah? The glass of water, the sediment are still there. If you don't stir, the sediment will not float. Means the energy feels suppressed and limit the mental hindrance, the anusaya. It cannot come out. That's why it's like, that time my metta was very strong. My mind state was very strong. So I thought that was the thing. But later on when I come out to work, then I realized it's stir involved. Then I decide to change. But I don't know who to learn from until I met Ajayantra. He was the one that explained to me about the highest meditation. He said we choose aware, every action, every moment in the present moment. That is the highest meditation. At first I thought must be some magical meditation. So simple, you know, just aware every action, every moment in the present moment. You know. Then I check, you know. I can hardly be in that state for even 5 minutes a day. You know. Then I realize I have yet to do the real meditation. So I determined to become aware. And within 2 weeks, the meditation came. And also at the same time, that time, 1986, I met Xuan Hua again. And my whole family took refuge under him. Then I did the bowing. And together with what he said, within 2 weeks, my daily mindfulness came. That's how I developed the understanding after that. I reversed my cultivation. That's how I can explain to you why you should not go into energy field. Unless it's from your past. You go into jhana, you can still develop the wisdom. You release it and come out into normal awareness. Develop the daily mindfulness. Follow the satipatthana. Then you can still awaken. Just like the time of the Buddha, a lot of his disciples who did jhana, they release it out. Then they also clear. Except for a few who are very rigid, like Devadatta or those things, they get stuck. Okay, we better end. Too much story. Oh, yo, 15 minutes. Okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So let us share merit, transfer merit. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika. Punyantang anumoditwa jirang rakantu lokasasana ita vata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati sidhya idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo devo asatu kalena sasa sampati hetu ca hito bawatu loko ca raja bawatu dhammik idnina punyang kamena mahame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu ihawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Jam, then we end. Thank you.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Sadhu to all those who provide their service and time to write the short notes.
Yes.
And those who do the voice recording and video recording. Let us say sadhu to them.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Sadhu to all of you for being here tonight and also for all the media offering.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Especially to Dr. Janta coming from America.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
So the annual gathering and Brother Teo's lunch is next
Sunday.
So there's still a few more last few places.
Those who want to join, you can text Suyan. This one is at a special offer rate. Subsidized.
We're finalizing the number.
Yeah.
We are still anxiously waiting for your video.
No need to be exactly 15 seconds, any length of time. You just send in, they will try to edit it. So say whatever you feel from your heart, whatever you have learned and all those things. It's more for fellowship and also gathering of Kayamita. You can share your experience or whatever benefit that you have developed. Okay, we end. Sadhu.